is the Tom Likas Show.
Marriage in the 21st century makes no sense.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Hey, don't do that.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 24-7 at Tom.show. You can hear us at our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at Tom Everything. TomEverywhere.com. TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. You and me. Everything and everywhere. Both have 10 letters. What can I do? What can I do? Anyway, welcome to the bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And joining us in studio, here he is, family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, welcome.
Hey, Tom. How you doing tonight?
Okay. What's going on in the world of matrimony, etc.?
You know, Tom, it all goes back to the classics. And I have two stories to tell the boys tonight. I promised this last week, but last week was criminal law, and we were talking about that guy who called the week before, who was with a girl that had a two-year-old, and he was basically taking on the kid as though it was his, you know? And this is something that goes on, obviously. This is the blended family we hear so much about. So this goes all the way back to childhood, Tom, with the fairy tales, which is the story of Cinderella. Now, that's the classic Grimm Brothers story, and there are different variations on it in different cultures. It apparently really goes back to, like, ancient Chinese folklore. But basically, Cinderella's mother died, and her father remarried a woman that had two daughters, and those became Cinderella's stepsisters. And then the father died, and the stepmother, obviously, became evil, and in the story, she and the two evil stepsisters made Cinderella into their slave, essentially. They took her clothes from her, and they took her jewels, and the stepmother favored her daughters over Cinderella, who was her stepchild, and they made her wear rags, and she had to work in the kitchen. And, you know, the story was Cinderella eventually, you know, improving her situation, and, you know, getting with the prince and going to the ball and all that sort of thing. But, you know, in real life, you don't get to have the fairy godmother save you. And that was Cinderella. Very important story, because what we see in blended families, very common, is that the stepmother, you know, because women tend to outlive men, statistically speaking, the father dies, that's the natural father, and the stepmother, who's the second or third wife or whatever, tries to change the will and to try to change the estate to screw over her stepchildren in favor of her natural children. So the father maybe has children with her, or she had children already, this is the stepmother, and when the father is out of the picture, because he's deceased or whatever, his children get screwed, and we have seen estates and other cases like this. It is just very unnatural for a woman to treat everyone equally and to treat children that aren't hers, you know, directly, her stepchildren rather than her natural children, as she would treat her natural children. The other interesting story, Tom, relates to where we grew up in the very unfortunate place of Long Island, New York. And I don't know if you remember this one, Tom, but one of the largest companies on Long Island was a company called Arrow Electronics, which
Oh, of course I remember that.
Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah, because every time you wanted to buy a new TV antenna so your dad could watch Channel 3 to see the New York Giants,
uh-huh,
because they were blacked out in New York City.
Oh, dear.
You had to go to Arrow Electronics, get an antenna, and get, you know, 30 or 40 feet of antenna wire,
right,
and Arrow's logo all over it. And I don't know if you remember the story I told, but one of the reasons my dad loved moving to Suffolk County was because his plan was to put up a TV antenna and aim it towards Hartford, Connecticut.
Right.
And the way he did that was he didn't want to attached the antenna to the top of the house, brand new house, didn't want to put holes in the shingles
right,
or anything.
It was in the attic.
So he dispatched me to the attic, and he kept going, turn it left, turn it left, turn it right, turn it right. All right, right there, hold it. And it'd be 3 hours of him watching the New York Giants football.
Oh, what lovely memories, Tom.
While I sat in the with the cancerous pink insulation up there, holding the TV antenna.
Asbestos.
Yeah, exactly. That's where he sent me. I was dispatched to do that.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
Well, this is like before Radio Shack, I guess, which is
right
out of business now, too. But Arrow Electronics, it was at one time based on Long Island. Apparently, they're still one of the big companies there. And they were actually based in Plainview, where I went to high school, if you can believe that. But the interesting thing about Arrow Electronics is that they were a company that sold radio components and other electronics. Also, in, you know, you, obviously your dad bought an antenna, but they also sold it on an industrial level to companies and so forth. And in, they were a public company. I think they still are on the stock exchange. But in 1980, they were having a convention of their executives in some kind of hotel thing where they were doing seminars in Harrison, New York. And that hotel caught fire and burned down. And there's a lot of questions as to how that happened and why that happened. But the bottom line is that this hotel fire killed like 15 of their top executives. So their entire management team was wiped out. And there was a big question at that time, what would happen? We've just celebrated the, commemorated the anniversary of 9/11. And you'll remember that Cantor Fitzgerald, which was a is a stock trading company, lost hundreds of people in the North Tower on 9/11. In 2001, and this is the same idea. So what happened with Arrow Electronics is that their stock plummeted, and everyone thought that that was the end of the company because they had lost all their management. But as it turns out, in corporations, they hired new people, they got some new executives, and the company went on. And what happened in Cantor Fitzgerald is just the same. After 9/11, they hired some new people, they set up a new headquarters, and the company is doing fine. This model, this corporate model, has been applied to families. Now, there's a great interesting thing about, like, adaptability. My sister had a dog, and she loved this dog, very close to the dog, and the dog was, like, part of her family. This is, I think, especially true because it was before she had kids of her own. And she went on a vacation and left the dog with another relative of ours for a long time, like 6 weeks. And when she came back, the dog didn't know what to do. The dog had adjusted to the new family. And so she expected the dog to come running to her. And instead, the dog was standing in the doorway, apparently. And he's looking at her, who he recognizes. And he's also looking at his new family that he was with for a month and a half. And he kind of wasn't sure who he's supposed to go with because he was adapting. And this is what I meant about Arrow Electronics and Cantor Fitzgerald. The corporate model is that, you know, if someone is the vice president, he's replaceable. And what you've said many times, Tom, you know, as much as people are loyal to companies, they will, you know, put a knife in your back and replace you or fire you or, you know, give your job to someone who will do it for less money or get rid of your division or whatever, even if you've been loyal for, you know, 20 years. But family is not the same. And when you talk about a child, there is a serious belief, and this is particularly amazing because this is something that women believe, that if they are involved with a man, he loves them, he is going to love their children. And this is especially that case with that guy who called in. As I recall, you were talking to him for a while, and then he got the girlfriend on the phone, and she was very, very sure of herself. And she was saying how, you know, she has this daughter, and this is the only father that the daughter has ever known, and that she is going to make sure that he's a good stepfather and that he sticks around. She did not have a kid with him because she wasn't even slightly attracted to him. She preferred to have a child with a psychopath who left her, of course. But once she had the child, she then needed the beta male provider who was going to stick around and raise the child and pay for everything. And so she just decided, like the dog that my sister had, that that child should be bonded to this new family with the new man. And women seriously believe that that's possible, but it's not. And the reality is that children know who their parents are. In these instances, and I've seen a lot of these cases, the mother will even lie to the child and tell the child that her boyfriend is actually the father. And she will raise the child, if they're young enough, because they never knew the natural father. She will actually tell the child that this new man is actually their father. And the child gets to be, you know, 8 years old and 10 years old and wants to know, you know, why do I have a different last name than my father? Which generally gets a slap in the face, by the way. The other thing that happens, which is absolutely typical, is when the child starts to emerge and wants to know who their real parent is, particularly, you know, their natural father, and the mother's bringing up stories, he ran away, I heard he lives in Europe, or he's, you know, whatever, some BS, because the truth is that she doesn't know where he is, or he's in jail, or something awful, maybe he's dead, the child will actually start to create a legend. And the classic thing that happened, and I saw this in my own family because my father actually married a woman that had two children, and he took them on as his children, as his stepchildren. I remember sitting at the dinner table and my stepbrother saying, you know, sitting with my father saying to my stepbrother, my father saying, please pass me the ketchup. And my stepbrother replied, don't tell me what to do. You're not my father. That's passing the ketchup, Tom. Now, that's something that a stepfather, a step-parent is going to hear. Don't tell me what to do. Don't talk to me. You're not my father. You're not my parent. Don't tell me. It's none of your business. And what ends up happening, very typically, is that when the flush of the romance is new, which is like this guy who called in, the kid was only 2 years old. The kid's kind of cute. He's in love with this woman. She's in love with him. They're all doing great. So, yeah, he likes the daughter. The daughter's cute. Very nice. But after a couple of years and after they're more settled in, okay, he is more and more aware of this daughter that he's paying for that's not his daughter, okay? And what's stunning is that once every couple of years, her loser father shows up and, like, brings her a box of Lego, or takes her on a trip to Disneyland for a couple of days, and he is her hero. So the natural father comes and does that. The guy who's been paying for everything, he is the sucker, because he's the one day in and day out dealing with her and her expenses and her life, and he gets no thanks. And this is the most thankless job in the universe. And then the natural father shows up, and he's a deadbeat who doesn't pay child support and doesn't give a shit. And the daughter's talking about, my real dad is here to pick me up. My real dad is taking me out today. And you are nothing. And what ends up happening in adolescence, which is absolutely stunning, is tragic. The rivalry between the father, the stepfather, and the stepson ends up exploding. And he's a young man, and they end up getting into fights, and they end up beating the crap out of each other, talking about, you're not my father, don't tell me what to do, like this kind of masculine thing, plus the Freudian thing, which is that your stepfather is screwing your mother, okay? And that's this whole sexualized thing with the son, of course. With the daughter, I'm sorry to say, the stepfather ends up fucking the daughter, okay? The stepdaughter. Because she's a young adolescent, she's impressionable, she's walking around in her underwear, and the stepfather says, well, she ain't my blood, I don't have to worry about it, it's no big deal, she's not really my daughter. And this ends up having all kinds of crazy sexual undertones and all kinds of nonsense. Now, what I've seen, which is absolutely unbelievable, is I have a couple of cases, and this goes on, where a guy gets involved with a woman that has children, and I have a case in particular that I will never forget, where the woman had a daughter, and she got married to this guy when the daughter was about 2 years old, so that was his stepdaughter, and he was with her for a few years, and women want to lock it in. Women want to really make it possible. So this woman put pressure on this guy to adopt the daughter, to make it legal. And, you know, she kept saying, you know, you're the only father that she's ever known. You're the, you know, be a man up, blah, blah, blah. And this guy wanted to please her, so he was trying to do the right thing. He liked the daughter, and so he literally went through the process legally, and he adopted the daughter. This is when she was around 5 years old. Now, it's really easy to love a five-year-old, okay? So he was with her since she was pretty little. He legally adopted her, so her father, her natural father, is completely out of the picture. They changed the little girl's name. Her last name became his last name. And now he, with this woman, raises the daughter. Meanwhile, life being what it is, the marriage went south. Things were bad. They were not happy together. They start separating. The daughter is now around, 14, 15 years old, and she starts doing babysitting. So this is his stepdaughter, not his, you know, blood daughter, and he adopted her, so legally she's his daughter. But when she was 14 babysitting, she was babysitting a child who was about 2 or 3 years old. And I hate to say this to you, Tom, but she molested that child, sexually molested her, okay?
You hate to say that to me? That's exactly what, if that's what it is, that's what it
that's
is.
That's what it was. It's sick, okay? Now, remember, there's a whole stereotype of child abuse is done by men, and a guy jumps from behind a bush and grabs a woman or something. This is not true. Most sex abuse and most molestation, most child abuse is done by women. That's a fact. And I'm not talking most like 52%. I'm talking 92%, okay? Women have the most access to children. Women are trusted with children. No one suspects women. You know, if you have a teacher, I remember when I was in fourth grade, you know, there was a male teacher. Everyone's like, oh, he's a male. What's he doing with those kids? You know, why is he into kids? You know, it's like they're suspicious of a man. No one's ever thinking like that towards a woman. So here, when she was 14 or 15, she literally did some kind of weird sexual thing to a two-year-old or a three-year-old, okay? And she ended up literally being arrested, and it was a big deal, and, you know, she's a juvenile offender. Anyway, this guy who had adopted her just couldn't deal with it, and so he disowned her. He just said, I don't know what the hell I was thinking. I don't want to do this, but he couldn't get rid of her because he adopted her. That's permanent. There's no undoing it years later. So what ended up happening is that he had to pay child support, and he ended up getting divorced from the mother, and when I was in court, the judge was trying to give him visitation rights because it was his daughter, and he didn't want them. And he said to the judge, I remember this like I couldn't believe it in front of a lot of people on the record. The judge kept saying, we can give you alternate Sundays or whatever. And he said, I don't ever want to see her again. She's dead to me. Okay? Because this guy figured out too late that being a step-parent is just not what it's cracked up to be. Okay, a lot of people have problems with their children. Children are not easy. You can end up with a child that hates you or curses at you, or a child that becomes a heroin addict, or who knows. You might have a child who's terrific, but the reality is in life, things are complicated. And if you think that you're going to pick up this cute little three-year-old like this guy on the phone, and she's going to remain cute forever and ever, you're wrong. She's going to be a teenager. She's going to be rebellious. She's going to do things you cannot believe. And if she's your flesh and blood, then you have to accept it. And you say, well, it's crazy. I don't know what happened. She's my daughter. What are you going to do? But if she's not your daughter, if she's your stepdaughter and you're screwing around because you like fucking the mother, okay, the reality is that is going to come back to bite you. That's the reality. And this is something that is absolutely thankless. I just read a really interesting post. I put this on my Facebook if you guys want to take a look, about a guy who was with a stepdaughter, and he had raised her from very young, and now she was in her 20s, and he was paying for her wedding, and she was getting a very elaborate wedding, and he was spending all kinds of money on it, and somewhere along the line, she decided she wanted her real father, her biological father, to come. And all of a sudden, this loser deadbeat, who never contributed anything to her, she's fawning all over him, and she's going to have him give her away, and he's going to stand at the front of the church, and he's going to be the star of the wedding, and they're giving him all these things to do, and inviting his family, and all this other crap, and she keeps saying, my real father, and she's so excited to have the attention of her real father, who completely neglected her. That's nice for her. But here was the guy, who was her stepfather, who paid for her school, who helped her in life, who helped her when she was sick, who put her through everything, and now he is at the back of the line because he is not the natural father. That is an absolutely thankless job. And the reality is, and this is why I was talking about dogs, okay? A dog is going to have a new family and accept the new family, and he's going to forget very quickly about the old family. That's adjusting. A child, a human child, is not going to do that and shouldn't. You are going to remember your parents. It's going to be something that you seek out. And one of the things you talked about, Tom, many times when the guys were kind of faltering around in life, and you talked about this, I think, particularly on Father's Day, is go find your father. Go talk to your father. Because your father, even if he's a bastard, he must have known something. Because your mother was willing to impregnate herself from him, right? He always had, right? He had the whatever it was, he had some wisdom. And if you were saying, especially if you as a man, your life wasn't going right, you need to dig up your dad, even if he's a prick, and spend a weekend with him and talk to him and try to gain some knowledge from the person, because he has something that you need to know. And I find now, this is so shocking to me, and if you remember our last week's show, I've gotten a lot of messages from people about this guy who's in a terrible, terrible situation. I get guys who call me all the time who have done so many self-destructive things, have gotten involved with crazy women who have now gotten them thrown out of their homes and their possessions taken, their bank accounts seized, and they're facing criminal charges and restraining orders and all kinds of horrible stuff. And when this guy starts telling me this story, after about 20 minutes worth, I tell him, do you know your father? Do you talk to your father? Kind of throws him, why am I asking him that? And he tells me, well, I grew up without a father. I grew up with a single mother. That is so classic. That is the classic story today of a man who doesn't know how to be a man because he didn't have a role model. He doesn't know his father because his mother fucked up things with his father and made the guy leave. And that ended up turning everything upside down in his life. And the reality is, I say to the guy, you have to go talk to someone. You've got to go talk to your dad. If you have an older brother, you have to talk to him because you have to learn these things. And this, unfortunately, is not going to be something that skips around in a blended family. There's always craziness in a blended family. There's always resentment. There's always this undercurrent. And it's very natural now when we have a high divorce rate that a woman has a couple of kids, a man has a couple of kids, and then later in life or whatever, they get divorced, they get remarried, you have a stepsister and a half-brother and all this other stuff. All I can say is that these are things that you have to avoid. You have to be really, really, really skeptical that this is ever going to work out. If you think about the mathematical odds and the probability of getting involved with someone, just you and a woman, and that the two of you are going to be happy for the long run, that you're going to have a sexual attraction that lasts, that you're not going to drive each other crazy, that you're not going to have divergent things happen in your life where one of you wants to live in Europe and the other wants to live in Texas, or you're going to have things that happen in your career where the woman's doing better than the man, or the guy loses his job, or you know, the woman wants to go back to school, or whatever the hell goes on. Just the fact that those things are going to come together and you're going to try to make them work, and the probability is so unlikely for that to succeed. The idea that, like Arrow Electronics, you're going to lose 15 top executives and just replace them with 15 other people is just not going to happen. You cannot just take a child and throw them into a house and say, hey, guess what? This guy's your father now, and here's an uncle you didn't know you had, and here it's like, you know, and here are your stepbrother and stepsister that you have to get along with. It's just not going to happen. It's going to be like Cinderella. The ones that feel superior because the mother was there and the father was dead are going to be cruel to the other sister, or they're going to make fun of her, or if they're powerful enough, they're going to push her around, or it's going to end up being unequal when the estate gets settled, or when there's financial issues, or she wants to go to college, we're going to pay for one daughter, and we're not going to pay for the stepdaughter, or whatever's going to happen. And the whole issue of molestation and everything, it is absolutely rolling the dice, asking for trouble in your life. Now, I know it's nice, this guy met this chick, and she's hot, and she has a daughter, and maybe he's using a condom, and he had a vasectomy, so he's absolutely positive that he's not going to get her pregnant, because you can be sure if he does that she is not going to have an abortion, because we already know her history that she gets pregnant and has the kid. But even if he's absolutely positively sure that there's no risk of pregnancy, this cannot be anything except temporary. He's going to be with her for a couple of days, screw her a couple of times, and get rid of her. Because to walk into that situation, to actually live with her, and to move in with her, and to start adopting her children, is absolutely, positively insanity. Suicide. And when I see guys, and this is something that Tom, when you talk about, what, 216 payments?
Yeah?
When I see guys who are paying child support, and they find out, for example, that the kid that they thought was their kid is not their kid, and they're paying child support and they can't get out of it, they go out of their minds. But when we're talking about a man who started raising another man's cast-off progeny, his children of another man, and he's been doing it for a number of years, believe me, when you separate from that woman, she is going to come after you for child support. And guys say, are you kidding? That's not my child. Oh, yes, it is. Even if you didn't adopt that child legally, if you were with that child and that child bonded with you and that child, you know, you took the kid to first grade, first day of school, whatever, okay, you get involved with that child, that bitch is going to come after you for child support because she knows where you are and you have a job, and the loser that she had the kid with, the deadbeat scumbag that she told you about, he's gone, okay? And when she can't pay her bills, she's going to come after you. And if she doesn't come after you, that's fine. She's going to apply for money from the government, and the government's going to come after you. And you're going to say, and I've got guys call me all the time, how could it be that I should pay child support for a kid that isn't even mine? And the answer is, it is. You acted like a parent, you are the parent, and you have to pay child support. And if you have that kid's 5 years old, and you're going to have to pay child support for 13 years until the kid's 18, and the kid is not even your kid, and the kid hates you now, that's another thing. When you break up with the mother and you're not dating her anymore, those kids are not going to keep in touch with you. They're done with you the second that happens. You think that her friends are your friends? They're not. And her kids are not your kids. And when you stop dating her and you're not having sex with her anymore and you're not seeing her anymore, you're not going to be calling her kids and picking them up and taking them out. Those kids are going to want to have nothing to do with you. They hate you. Right? They've always hated you. Okay? And so you're going to be paying child support for those kids who spend 100% of their time with their mother, don't visit you at all. Any of the benefits of parenthood, anything that's positive as a parent that you get, where your kids love you and your kids thank you and your kids appreciate you, you play ball with your kid, those kids aren't going to be giving you any of that. And you're going to be paying child support for 13 years until they're 18. That is absolute insanity. I don't care how good the pussy is, it is not worth that. And guys today have got to be aware. They have got to open their eyes, because this is something that we're being told on these daytime TV shows and these vagina shows that are all geared towards women, talking about that men should step up and come to the plate and be a man and raise another man's children. What could be less manly than raising another man's children? You're a cuck. Okay? You are raising children that are not biologically yours. That's absolute lunacy. Okay? And that guy kills me, the one that was on the show, because he was talking to you about it, Tom, like it was perfectly logical. Okay? And you were just, you know, you were actually, you know, pretty non-judgmental. I think the callers were much harder on him.
But, well, you have to understand when you interview somebody like
course.
That, a caller or a guest, whatever, you need them to tell their story. And if you beat the shit out of them,
of course,
they're not going to tell you the story. So I will let the callers do the dirty work.
Of course,
like
I know you're always respectful to guests on the show, and I think that that's the right approach. I everything I know about radio, Tom, I learned from you. Believe me. But the reality is that the guy had so deluded himself that he thought that what he was doing was making sense and there was no talking him out of it. I'm telling you that if we kept in touch with him or you hear from him a year or two or 3 years from now, he's going to be singing the blues, okay? because the kid's going to cut him off. He's going to be paying child support for a kid that's not his. That woman is going to hate him like you wouldn't believe. She said straight that she was never attracted to him in the slightest, okay? So she is not going to end up with having a long-term relationship with him. She's having sex with him now, doing him a favor, because she really needs a father for her daughter. That's going to fade pretty quick, okay? And if she thought he was so terrific, she would have fucked him and had the kid with him, okay? She was busy having sex with a degenerate that really turned her on, and that's the father, the natural father, okay? And that guy is going to be telling a very, very, very different story in a couple of years when he gets absolutely, positively screwed, okay?
Which he will.
It's coming like a freight train, my friends, okay? So your rule, Tom, you talked about this in the past, to stay away from single mothers.
Yep.
Hallelujah, Tom. Hallelujah.
Yep. That's the way it's got to be. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We've got callers here for Adam Sachs. This is family law attorney Adam Sachs. So if you're separated, if you're thinking about getting a divorce, if you've got kids and you're worried about where they're going to end up, if you're worried about paying child support or vagina money, if you are, maybe you've been served with a restraining order, whatever it is, Adam is here to give you free legal advice right now, and here is all you have to do. You call this number right now, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That's the number. It's 901-3000. 866.
The entire Tom Likas experience in your pants.
Get the app now.
901-3000-TOM.
This is the Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show. The bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And there you have, sitting right there at the New Normal Studios in Burbank, family law attorney Adam Sachs answering your questions at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM, that's the number, 901-3000-866. You got about 24 hours left, and then we're done. We're closing the list. In order to join Gary Zabransky and I in Portland this Saturday night, 7 p.m., for an amazing top-of-the-line steakhouse dinner with a private room and a view that will knock you out, you will always remember. Now, whether you're coming in from out of town or whether you live in Portland, Oregon, you do not want to miss this meal. I am telling you, it is a view of a lifetime, even if you live in Portland and you see Portland every day. We want you to be there. Don't miss this. And, by the way, it's going to be our only appearance in Portland this year, and who knows for how long. So if you'd like to join me and Gary at a top-notch steakhouse for an amazing private dinner in a private room with an amazing view, incredible wine selection, all you have to do is go to this web address right now. It's dinnerwithtom.com. Dinnerwithtom.com. Reserve your place right now at dinnerwithtom.com. By the way, we're going to follow it up a week later with a dinner in Seattle. Same deal. Private room. Unbelievable view. Top of the line steakhouse. And a whole gaggle of P1s to hang out and converse with. We can't wait. So for either dinner or even for both, go to dinnerwithtom.com. That's dinnerwithtom.com. All right. With family law attorney Adam Sachs and your calls, 901-3000-TOM. Here comes Tracy in Los Angeles. Tracy, you're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Tom Likas, Adam Sachs. My
hey,
brother's
Tracy,
from another mother, man.
Yeah.
Good hearing from you guys, man, and I'm glad you brought up the story. I got in late on the conversation piece, and it was basically the story when Adam brought up about the guy paying for the wedding. And I don't know, Adam, if you remember the finishing of the story. The guy basically went to his family after he basically got shame from his daughter and had a meeting with everyone and said, because you love your father so much as I've done for you all these years and everything else, you can pay for the fucking wedding.
Right.
The wedding never happened.
Right.
Never happened at all, period. But it's a story and it's, yeah. It's
she
a story
she even, she wouldn't like even invite like his guest list.
No. Matter of fact, they shortened his guest list, period.
Right.
Which I thought was real funny. And I, you know, you sit there and you go like, why do guys put themselves in position to go ahead and to just fuck sloppy meat? I mean, it's like taking sloppy seconds from someone else. I wouldn't be taking care of someone else's kid. It's not biologically mine. And like I said, there's so much pussy in the world. Why would I go ahead and get secondhand for it? But I'm glad you're stressing to a lot of the guys out there that are listening to the message. Because like I said before, you know, a girl comes around, they get excited about it. The responsibilities are coming to play. By the time the situation doesn't work too well, next thing you know, they're paying for something that's not even their kid. And it's just, it happens every time. And the messages get out there year after year after year. I mean, this has been brought up quite a few times that you've stressed it on the show. But I'm glad you brought it up, man. I'm happy to hear from you guys and keep doing what you're doing. I know you got other callers, man, and you guys take it easy, dude.
All right, Tracy, thank you for that.
Well, there you go. I mean, Tom, it's just it's just a reality. And it's amazing that somehow the scarcity of pussy thing, where when a guy gets a nice piece of ass, he just loses his mind. And he thinks, you know, this is so great, and it's so rare, and it's so unusual. If I mess it up with this one, I'm never going to get another one as long as I live, or it's going to be a long time or whatever. And the woman essentially is just pushing and pushing like a child, because women are childish, and she's trying to see how much she can get away with. Now, from her point of view, it's her child, so she, you know, screwed things up with the child's natural father. She perceives that she wants to create a new family. That's like this woman I mentioned that forced and pushed the guy to adopt her child. And the woman thinks she's going to sort of recreate the family unit. And that's something that fundamentally is impossible to do. That's why they used to call it a broken home, because it's broken. It's not going to get fixed. It's like Humpty Dumpty, you know. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. And so a woman will push and push and push to do this. And if you're the guy, you have to put your foot down. And you have to say, look, maybe I'll be nice to your kids, but I am not going to adopt them, and I'm not going to raise them as my own. And guys, because of the scarcity thing, do go along with this nonsense. And I'm telling you, one way or another, there's no upside. You're going to regret it. You are going to regret it.
Yep. No doubt about that. All right, let's take a break here. We're going to come back with more Adam Sachs, more of your calls, 901-3000-TOM. That's the telephone number to talk directly to Adam. Free legal advice if you're separated, getting a divorce, worried about child custody, worried about paying vagina money, worried about paying child support, maybe stupidly considering getting married and you need help with a prenuptial agreement or a postnuptial agreement. That's what Adam's here for. So if you've got questions for Adam, Adam has answers. You call him right now. 901-3000-TOM. That's our number. 901-3000-TOM. It's our last chance to talk to Adam. And coming up, I will give you details on how you can reach Adam in case you've got a serious matter to discuss. Adam is here for you. 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. At 901-3000-TOM, that's our telephone number. 901-3000-TOM. Call us right now at 901-3000-866. We talk to Adam Sachs. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free. 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check me out on Facebook and also on the regular World Wide Web at www.adamlawyer.com. And you can send me an email, which I love, and I answer myself personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
901-3000-TOM, that is our telephone number. Adam is here as family law attorney, Adam Sachs. So whether it's divorce advice you need or separation advice, you don't want to pay any unnecessary vagina money, child support you're worried about, child custody, these are all things Adam does, and he will do for you at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-866. Adam, I've been looking at the numbers. Less people are getting married now, I think.
It's a fact.
Than ever.
That's true. Thank God. I mean, I hate to say it, but I would like to be put out of business, Tom. I really would. It's absolutely insane that the idea of marriage now, today, is so antiquated. When you look at women talking about, and this is something you mentioned many times, Tom, young women talk about starter husbands. I mean,
that's right.
She's going to marry you just for a year or two to see what it's like to be married. I've met a number of women on our first date who told me, oh, I've never been married. Well, you know, technically I was. And I go, what? And they go, yeah, when I was 26, I tried it for 6 months. Okay, that is not the lifelong commitment. You
Another starter husband.
Yeah. So she still considers herself unmarried, never married. But she did get married to some schmuck because she wanted to see what it was like to feel like to be married. And if you think that that's a woman that's going to take marriage very seriously, give me a break. The other thing that you'll find, especially with today's woman, is that she has a Facebook account, an Instagram account, and 15 other social media accounts. And so if you're expecting that she's going to be faithful to you, ha-ha on you, okay? Today's woman is not thinking about being faithful, okay? She wants the wedding. She wants to be the center of attention. She wants to have the bridal shower and all that other BS. And you'll hear about nothing else for a year and a half. And whoever pays for it, assuming it's her family, God help you if it's your family or your own money with her. But you think that that commitment means anything to her? That's a joke. As soon as she feels that you haven't been giving her enough attention, or you're distracted with work, or you're not taking care of her the way she expects, her girlfriends and her mother and her sisters and everyone else are going to tell her, you go girl, and she is going to screw a guy at work, usually the boss, by the way. They're very selective about that.
The boss, or your next door neighbor, or your bowling buddy, or your
usually,
best friend.
Well, your best friend is the best one that she can go for. But in my experience, a lot of guys had the wife tell them, you know, honey, I really want to get a job. The kids are getting older a little bit. I want to make some money. And she, for example, becomes a real estate agent. That's kind of a classic. And she goes to work in the local real estate office or whatever. And, you know, women go right for the alpha man. So she is going to screw the boss. Trust me. There's always the pool boy, but the boss is just better than ever compared to all things considered.
Adam, and you're so pessimistic.
It's just how it is, Tom. And by the way, the fact that, guys get married at all is hilarious. I mean, the real truth statistically is that marriage is actually much later now. People are getting married at older and older ages. But the idea when I talk particularly to people of certain cultures that they say, oh, you know, in my culture, in the Latin culture or whatever, we get married, it's stupidity, absolute stupidity.
Well, if you still lived in on a farm in rural Mexico, it might make sense.
Really?
But you don't. You live in the United States of America, where women have the right to go in and take everything you've ever earned.
You know, Tom, the fact that no-fault divorce was promoted and created, and I hate to tell you, it was created in California by conservative Governor Ronald Reagan. Did you know that? In 1969.
Yes. Well, yeah, guess what? He was one of those people getting divorced.
Well, there you go. I think that he had a personal experience that made him think it was a good idea. And you saw how in the old European times, the king, the gentry, the reason that they left the Catholic Church and became Protestants is because the king needed to get a divorce, you know? But what ended up happening is our king, our governor, needed a divorce, and he pushed for no-fault divorce, and women wanted no-fault divorce. And the reason is because when in the old days your wife turned out to be an adulterous cunt, you could divorce her and she'd end up with nothing. Now, because of no-fault divorce, you think you're a good husband, you're doing all the right stuff, you work hard, you're doing everything for your family and taking care of everyone, including her, you never hit her, you never yell at her, you come home from work one day, and there she is screwing your best friend on the living room couch, and he serves you with the papers, and you lose everything. Guys always say, oh, I have to give her half. You're not going to give her half. You're giving her a lot more than half. Half now, from a woman's point of view, is the jumping off point. It's not enough for her to divorce you. She also wants to make sure that you're so financially ruined that you're never going to be able to get another woman. She wants to make sure that you never get laid again. Okay? So she cuts you off from all sex in the marriage. She cuts you off from all your girlfriends and all the women that were ever with you. And then she wants to make sure that you're flat broke, so you're sleeping in your car while she's screwing a new man in what used to be your house. Okay, friends?
Amazing. Shit amazes me. But I understand. You're pessimistic. I'm pessimistic. Look, I did my time. And fortunately, got away without paying a whole hell of a lot, unlike most guys today.
If you think about this thing you were talking about with the antenna, silly as it is, and how fraught your relationship was with your father, okay?
Yes.
What if that was your stepfather, okay? Seriously.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine, where all the pressure and everything else, that this was actually some guy that your mom picked up after your real father disappeared or whatever, is in prison, okay? And now he's telling you to set up the antenna, right? Would you turn around and say, F you, you're not my father?
No.
Oh, come on, Tom.
No, not me. Of course I would.
You're a good kid. The real question is, what would have happened next, okay? He would have lunged for your throat, okay? Maybe using a weapon, all right? And you're 14 and you've been going to the gym or you've been riding your bike or whatever. You would have lunged back, right?
Right, of course.
Right.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And you don't want to know what happens after that.
You know what? Rather than getting into the pissing match, I'd do what I did with my real father. As a teenager, I would bolt. I'd get out of there.
I know, but I think there is a bit of restraint and there's a bit of familial connection, even when you're super angry, that he's your natural father. When he's not, it's like, what's holding you back? You know? Seriously. I mean, after all the years, and I know he's deceased now, you know, you still regard him as your father. You still have, you know, feelings or confusions or sadness or whatever. But if he was just some guy that your mom was fucking, I mean, come on. You're going to say, oh, I miss him so much. You'd be like, ugh, my mother married this jackass who treated me like shit, and I'm glad he's dead. How's that?
Well, you know what? That sounds like something I would feel very comfortable saying, as you know. All right, Adam, tell everybody one more time.
Sure.
how they can get in touch with you.
Okay, well, if you do make the mistake that Tom and I have advised you against or any permutation thereof, you can call me at...
Or if you're planning on making that mistake.
Oh, don't even start. Do not start. The guys are calling me that their wedding is in 2 weeks and they need a prenup. Forget it. Call me at toll-free 1-800-340-7320. Send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com. I'll save you.
All right. Yes, well, if you missed your chance to talk to Adam, you're going to get another chance. It's coming up this Tuesday. We're going to be in Portland, Oregon, I believe, this Tuesday. Or maybe Bend. I don't know. But no matter where we are, you're going to talk to Adam, and you're going to talk to him Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
I heart this app a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's news for guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Yes.
A young couple having sex for the first time were left with serious injuries after using a plastic bag as a condom.
Wow.
A shopping bag. It was a young...
Oh, my God. It's the kind that Timpson likes to collect.
Recyclable. Young Vietnamese couple. Apparently had to go to the hospital for treatment. Intercourse with a plastic bag, the cause.
It has no elasticity, no lubrication, and it's entirely unsuitable for this purpose.
Right.
That's what Dr. Nguyen Delon.
They were treated, by the way, for genital lesions, abrasions, and bleeding.
Man, they must have just went house.
They must have.
Can you imagine the type of weird things that come to that hospital, just in general?
It's kind of crazy situation over there in Hanoi. There at the college, 2,700 students from actually six different universities in Hanoi. Only 16% of students surveyed said they had intercourse.
Right.
16%.
And just a third said they had used a condom for the first time. They found 25% were said that they, by using protection, it proved to be embarrassing.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if, you know, they're Magnum condoms, and we're talking about little Asian dudes here. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what
the
deal
is. But plastic bag is not the answer.
Oh, I don't know. It's kind of funny, actually. I'd like to have them do it more.
Yes, more lesions, more bleeding. A woman has been arrested, apparently hired a hitman or attempted to hire a hitman to kill her husband. It turned out to be an undercover cop.
Yeah, I've said this a million times. Mm. They're always cops. They're not. Good luck finding a hitman.
This is down there in Bradenton, Florida. And it turns out that that was not her first wish. She actually wanted him kidnapped, then taken to a foreign country, and forced into being a sex slave.
It looks like her girl was mad about something.
She was pretty pissed. She told all this to an undercover cop.
Right. Well, she appeared before a Manatee County judge, and he set her bond at $100,000. I thought it'd be more than that.
No shit. She was willing to pay $5,000 to have her husband killed, $25,000 up front. Didn't work out for her. Ricky Schroeder's wife has filed for divorce.
Yep, apparently she's had enough as well.
Ricky still, what does Ricky do for a living now?
I don't know. He used to be on NYPD Blue, but that hasn't been on forever. Yeah, I guess he was a devout Mormon or something, Ricky, and she's really involved in a church, so I wonder if that really had something to do with it.
And finally, cops say they have nabbed a suspect for the murder of up-and-coming rapper Kid Cali.
Yeah, Kid Cali, that was a terrible time. We reported this murder, and our friend was killed. They arrested a 19-year-old guy in connection with the shooting of Kid Cali. He was huge here in the L.A. rap scene, and I guess he was killed during one of those pool parties that we reported
big,
on.
Big, crazy pool party.
In the Valley, which just could look like a porn set, you know?
Right. All those broads running around in bathing suits.
Right.
Shaking that shit.
And this party was at one of those mansions, so they say there's tons of security cameras.
Right. Nailed the dude.
Yep.
Plenty more newsforguys.com, and of course you can find our podcast at GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
Ha ha on you.